record.
And a news and update for June 20th, 2022 on this Monday early morning
that's
edition.
That's the awkward that, that, part is that a lot of people don't talk about is just this
broadcasting on XM
between,
radio,
parents that
stations on the radio,
are not together
and
on
the internet,
podcast
and platforms like Spotify.
How it's always
Stitcher,
the parent that is pushing for the
Anchor.
Vaccine
.com,
that is considered the favorable
FM,
one and the one that they listen
few.
To, and it's just
our
so
podcast
criminal.
Podcast name is Top Headlines
right,
National
right. You
and
know,
International
I,
Head.
You know, my family and I,
let me start over.
We're trying not to get
stop
too worried about it. And we
top
hope
Headlines,
hope and
National
update.
And International
you know,
News Stories. That's how you write
there'll
it.
Be enough,
so please help us if you can
you
by making a donation to meet our $1,600
yeah,
challenge
so
by calling simply
252-833-9007 to
make your credit card or debit card donation so we don't go dark. Plus, it's a tax write-off for you. And it's a win-win for you and for us. So we can get caught up for the two sponsors we lost back in
there.
Thanks a lot. I want
to
say
God,
again,
there was nothing I could
bottom of my heart
do to prevent this
support.
Happening. This is just
God
my innocent child.
Take care.
But I pray for protection. Do you pray? Yeah. It's,
so I was just wondering if with all the mathematicians and experts and specialists, like who hasn't been able to figure that one out? And one of the funniest things that I brought up before the pandemic even started, besides don't let them burn the books, was the fact that over in China, they had two companies that you can get your cell phone from. 21 million people dropped in a stock off of their ticker. So in China, Forbes magazine wrote a story about how one of the Chinese companies just lost 21 million people, so the other one must be going up in stock. So people started investing in it. They didn't know what was going on. Turns out that's actually the beginning of Corona, which when I believe they incinerated 21 million people in China. Since there's only two places that you can go to get your telephone service and one didn't jump to the other company, where did they go? You need a telephone to live. You need that social media credit score, health record on your phone. Where'd they go?
Who knows? I don't 21 know.
21 million people.
That's crazy.
All right. Have a happy Father's Day.
You too. Thank you so much for the phone call. You know, I did mention it that the fatherless homes are, I think, the root cause of so many of our society's issues. The lack of a strong male character, mentor in people's lives. And, it's, I think, contributing to allowing kids to be victims, to be coerced into grooming situations, into questioning their identity. And I'm trying to learn new things. I'm an old dog learning new tricks. And so I was playing around with TikTok and reels and stuff, because as independent influencers, we need to learn how to do these things and find different ways to reach people and get the true news out there. So if we do we have that clip that I put in there that I did on the pedo predator that was caught? I have an example of a reel that I figured out, and I was gonna see if we could play it, if it's in there and able to be played. Can we take that? Oh. They need a minute, but we're gonna show that. Meanwhile, we do get news out from Paul Haggis, arrested in Italy on sexual assault charges. So who's Paul Haggis? Well, he's the Trump-hating, Oscar-winning director, and he just got arrested for sexual assault. So it's like all these people are just sexual deviants. A young woman pressed charges against Haggis, accused the two-time Oscar winner of forcing her to engage in sexual intercourse over the course of 2 days, where Haggis was scheduled to host a series of master classes. The woman was taken to the Popola Castel Airport on Sunday morning, left there despite her precarious physical and psychological conditions, according to an Italian police report. So fortunately, all these sexual deviants, they do end up getting caught, but here we go. The clip is ready. Hopefully you enjoy this at my expense.
Why do all these people just assume that if you want to force kids to talk about sexuality, that it just automatically means that you must be a pedo?
Well, this is awkward. Eldon Bunegg, you bleeping act like we want to show kids porn or something, but something I've learned through the years is that whenever right-wingers accuse others of something, it's definitely because they're projecting. Star advertiser. Substitute teacher Eldon Bunegg was charged Wednesday in a criminal complaint filed in federal court for distributing child pornography. Don't believe me? Here it is. Eldon Bunnag, socialist high school teacher fighting for a better society for students in Hawaii. Here it is. Hawaii teacher arrested for sharing child pornography. Eldon Bunnag. He was having sex with the 13-year-old during the lunch breaks and sending it to another teacher. And he admitted it, yet shaming other people for questioning this.
So it's crazy.
Why are these people just...
Yeah, okay, yeah, let's get rid of that. It's crazy to look at this Eldon Bunnag's Twitter. Maybe he finally took it down, but I know he was, like, busy in jail because he was arrested. But it's crazy to look through his Twitter and just how arrogant he was, and he was coming up against conservatives and right-wingers, quote-unquote right-wingers, and saying a million times over that they were projecting, that they were clearly the pedos. And if we can show a picture also that I put in the file there, guys, it's a screenshot of something else he had posted. Here it is. He says, "You have yet to demonstrate why teaching kids basic sex ed and discussing gender sexuality with them is grooming." Well, I've repeatedly explained why. Don't tell me to bleeping Google anything. This is also why no one should ever take you guys seriously. You can never back ish up. So he says this before he's discovered, and now we can back our stuff up. You know, we were saying these are the type of people that want to push these questions on our kids, that want and find it so important to talk to the kids about sexuality. And it's like every time, yet again, this guy that says everybody is projecting, he is then arrested for victimizing a poor child and sending that video to another teacher. So scary, very, and just so telling that this is the exact thing that we're warning about. Thanks for proving us right yet again. It's so awful. But I'll go back to your phone calls because some of you've been very, very patient and waiting. Tony in Wisconsin. Tony works at a hotel and says there's some trans activity there.
I work at a hotel with my wife, and we never used to see any trans people before, but like lately they've been frequently coming, and they're usually rowdy, and they leave behind lots of women's clothes and wigs and party favors and party games, like pin the dong on the stud posters where they, you know, you use a sticker to, well, put the, yeah, anyway, and then, I don't know, like rainbow tutus and stuff. I don't know, they leave a mess behind of all this stuff, and I don't know, I just wanted to
So basically, you've worked at a hotel for a long time, and you weren't really seeing a lot of this stuff, and you've seen just like a really big uptick in these things?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, with this whole Pride Month thing, they're all emboldened and whatnot.
Over there in Wisconsin even, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just thought I'd, you know, let the fellow resistance members know where the infection's spreading.
Okay, well, thanks for the warning. Beware of some hotels in Wisconsin. They're everywhere. No, thank you, Tony, for your phone call. Ventura in California, you have are kind of on this topic. Ventura in California?
Yeah. So, Lately, I was here talking on Friday with you, and we're talking about the whole drag queen thing. And I did want to bring it up again. It's disgusting. And I sort of, you know, liked what Tony said, or what you said, excuse me. It is everywhere. It really, really is everywhere. And, you know, we just got to, you know, pray God, you know, got to help our country. But I have a very important URL for everybody to go to right now,
okay.
If everybody's ready. It is vmstalkshow.com. vmstalkshow.com.
Dangerous URL you're giving out, is it?
Oh, no, this is my talk show website. I'm a talk show host. Well,
okay, we don't want no viruses on our computer. VMSTalkShow.com?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
I've been trying to get as a guest on InfoWars. I'm still trying. Not got there yet. But I'm going to keep going because I do believe in miracles and voices shall be heard. But while everybody's, you know, getting that URL down and checking that out, I want to talk about forced inoculation. Yesterday, I just got an iPhone, right? And I happened to scroll down, and there was Moderna. Moderna says that the CDC wants children under 5 years old to take the Moderna shot. The Moderna shot was recalled within the ending of last year. And now they want to give it out to children under five.
Yeah. It's so sick and criminal. I mean, and the other thing is in the exact advertisement, I guess you could say, or announcement, if you want to be that gracious, it says the CDC is now recommending children 6 months to 5 years get the COVID shot for prevention of COVID. Whatever the exact words are, it specifically does say for the prevention of COVID. And it's like, how can they say that? We all now know that it doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. And when you point this out, they're like, oh no, the vaccine is supposed to minimize your symptoms. But even now, even when they're advertising it to children and telling kids to get it, they say that phrase, for the prevention of COVID. An outright lie that we can all see is an outright lie through the fact that Fauci's gotten COVID and basically every other person that has advertised this stupid thing. It doesn't prevent COVID. So why are they doing that? That's not what it says in the tweet, though, in the video that you're showing right now. That says to better protect them from COVID. In the tweets that they send out, the CDC tweets, it says to prevent them from COVID-19 infection. But check it out. It's infuriating. Thanks for your phone call, Ventura. I want to go to Nicole in North Carolina. Nicole?
Hi, Christy. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Oh, no problem. I was doing a little Bible study. Before I asked the advice I was calling about, I did want to tell you that my mom and I adore you. We're so excited every time you're on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That just made my day.
An extra little, like, ray of sunshine. So I just wanted to tell you that. And we also love Brain Force Ultra. We cannot get enough of that. So anyone
you can always tell when I haven't taken it, because I swear, like, and there's been times I've covered the show and I'm like, man, I'm just stumbling all over my words right now. And then I give myself a shot of that Brain Force Ultra, and it really does make a difference. I clearly didn't take it yet today. See, I said you could tell when I take it and when I don't.
If you get a really great nap and feel amazing, that's what you feel like after you take that.
Yes, so great.
I like to tell people here I'm a New York refugee, so I successfully escaped New York State and moved.
Good for you.
A little bit.
We're so happy for you, Nicole. Good job getting out of there.
Yes, I got my legal concealed carry here, and they're still investigating it for the New York laws. It's crazy. So I love it down here already. And I'm getting super involved with my new church and working with kids, and I have this strong feeling lately that, all Christians are not necessarily patriots, but I feel like all patriots are mostly Christians, and I feel this calling to try and bring them together, like that God is giving us kind of a chance to stand up, a last chance to stand up or step aside. And I just really like, how do you deal with that as far as how awake churches are? Like, how do you bring those? They should be on the same team.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. I think that there is a divide within the church. There's Christians that are kind of like go along to get along and are almost too subservient, like, oh, let's just love everybody. And, you know, that's all good. But we also need to warn others. We very well could be in the end times. You know, let's look back to biblical prophecy and make sure that we have the discernment that God has blessed us with. We have, if you're truly saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and your Holy Spirit is to help you discern. And it is just so sad and disappointing when there's people that call themselves Christians and yet they fall victim to this wishy-washy, oh, well, you know, God didn't mean this or that, or I don't know, but like, there's only so much you can do. I mean, I've had friends that say they're Christian and then just like abandoned me because they didn't like the direction of my political affiliation, and it hurt. It sucks.
You know, I shouldn't say that when I'm talking about Christianity. It's a bad word. Like, it's not the best word to use, but you know, it doesn't feel good. Okay. There's at some point that all you can do is pray that the Lord would open up their eyes. And, you know, but the Bible does warn us of this, right, Nicole? Like, it says that, you know, there will be some that will say, Lord, Lord, you know, we look to you and we prayed in your name. And of course I'm massacring that verse right now, but you know what I'm talking about? The one where it's like, we were there, we called, we prayed to you. And he's like, depart from me, I never knew you, you know? So that's right. Very real. We need to check ourselves. We need to at least lovingly warn those that are on the wrong path, because this is real. He will say to some, depart from me, I never knew you. So get it together, yeah. People.
There are some who I swear are like, they see it as a way to earn their place in heaven. And that's just not what Christ wants. He wants us to save each other and love each other and fight evil together.
Mm-hmm. It's frustrating though, but you know, one of the whole concept of Christianity is this freedom of choice that he gave us to either accept him or accept righteousness, or we can deny it and reject it. I mean, that's right, right? So, So it's frustrating, but we do need to give people space to make their own decisions, obviously, and just continue to be loving, be loving in truth. Like, never shy away from the truth. Share the truth. Be bold in the truth. People need the truth, and then they can never say, like, you didn't tell me. Yes, I told
exactly.
You rejected it.
Yeah, if you really have Christ in your heart, at some point you're looking around and you know something's wrong. Just go with that and do what the Lord tells you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, and to my wonderful stepfather and dad. I love them, and I am very blessed to have them both.
Awesome. Great call, Nicole. Good luck to you and warning others and getting these churches on the right path, you know. The book of Revelation talks about different types of churches. And, you know, I challenge some of you to read about that. Like, which church is your church? Are you the bold church? Are you the church that is wishy-washy? Are you the legalistic church? But maybe go back and read the different churches in Revelation and try and identify which one yours is and how you can help get it to where it should be. You are the resistance. Hopefully you're enjoying your Father's Day with family. Maybe you got some good cookouts, some good meats, some real meats, not that Bill Gates manufactured meat. Enjoy it while you can, because, you know, we just don't know what's going to happen with that, unfortunately. Did you guys see this? Breaking AZ, well, it's probably not breaking anymore, but that term's overused anyways. The Arizona governor is blasting the media for a hit piece on her daughter who works for TPUSA. Carrie Lake, you know, a former news anchor as well. She says that the media is the enemy of the people. I would agree. And frankly, the right hand of the devil. Oh, I would also agree with that. And she says she was saying these things in response to this hit piece apparently they did on her daughter for working at, oh my goodness, a nonprofit, because it's a conservative one, you know. So she's gotten some flack for criticizing, you know, grown men dancing provocatively around women, which, why would the media criticize her for being critical of that? But I guess she did face some accusations of hypocrisy, because an Arizona drag queen with the stage name Barbara Seville accused her of hypocrisy because he claims to have performed in drag for her at her home and for her daughter, the one that's been the subject of hit pieces. She dove right into the accusation head on, which is always what you should do, just address it head on. And she said, yeah, Richard Stevens was a friend of mine. I covered him in news stories. And And, you know, so she was friends with him. She says that she's now serving Stevens with defamation, but stressed the duplicitous role of the mainstream media that they had in creating that feedback loop. So, yeah, there's that. Let's go back to your phone calls. Andrew in New York. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hey, Christy.
Hi.
I was going to talk about digital kids that they were talking about having.
The digital kids? The era of digital kids? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like with the AI and stuff, like, that's where, like, the garbage reset wants to, like, get stuff to, like, where you'd have, like, I guess, like, it'd be like a hive mind, so people like not know what's going on and everything.
Wait, do you mean like actual digital kids? Like, because, you know, the men's semen is being destroyed by the jab right now, and women's function and ability to have kids is also being affected by the jab. You're talking about having like AI children?
Yeah, it would actually be like in the metaverse, like they were talking about it. They're talking about like having like digital kids instead of like real kids.
Oh.
In the metaverse. And, like, I guess also it might be kind of connected, like, you might try to trick people, like, they have, like, Google just said that they have, like, a sentient, like, AI, like, system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's true or not, like, I guess...
I mean, nothing would surprise me at this point. Nothing would be surprising. That kind of makes me think of something else they'll probably start pushing is, as they get us to try more and more to accept... essentially pedophilia, you know, they're trying to desensitize us, I believe, in all of these efforts in making it normal to be around children or to perform around children with these sex toys and everything like that. I feel like we're moving into a situation where the next thing that we'll hear about is like, oh, you know, we need to treat pedophiles as, you know, just any other protected class, and, you know, so that we need to find ways to satisfy them without harming real kids. So we'll start virtual reality minor. So basically what I'm trying to say is, like, I think that would be like the next situation that they would try and push us into, is that minor attracted persons can suddenly live out their fantasies with virtual kids or something. If that's not already happening, I don't know, maybe that's already even happening, but don't you think that would be the next step?
Yeah, I could see that. Like, they're trying to destroy logic. Like, they're like, part of it, like, the thing is like the year zero, where they try to like basically have like all objective reality that they're trying to say like doesn't actually exist. So, and also like the AI and stuff like would like control people's like minds, like from like the 5G systems and different things like that. But I think people probably are smart enough to realize that it's all like so ridiculous that they'd stop it before it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Who knows? I mean, it's so hard to know what they're working on next. There's so many things happening at once. But thank you for that phone call, Andrew. I want to get to this other Andrew in Florida. Happy Father's Day, Andrew.
Hey, thanks. It's Georgia, by the way, but that's okay. Lots of Andrews calling today.
Okay.
On the theme of Father's Day, it seems like a lot of young and even middle-aged men, they're not interested in becoming dads, whether it be money, fear of the courts, like previous callers mentioned. They'd rather watch football. Some of them are even lopping off their own testicles because they think they're women. What is a woman, by the way?
Yeah.
But it seems like these globalists don't even need the clutch shot to lower, you know, to attack our fertility. We seem to be doing a fine job on our own. But, of course, I recommend becoming a dad. I'm a little partial being a father of three, but I think the first thing God told humanity was be fertile and multiply. So that's another reason, right?
Yeah, I mean, and we know that Satan is the father of all lies, and he makes a mockery of everything. So basically anything that God wants to do, he's going to try and encourage the opposite. So if God says be fruitful and multiply, then obviously those that are with Satan are going to say that it's bad for our environment to multiply, you know, and make efforts to depopulate the world. I mean, he hates the creation. So, yeah.
Good, but I'll plug Alpha Power. It gives a dad like me pep in my step.
All right. Alpha Power. Yeah.
I think another challenge for the Patriot guns and ammo might be this inflation crisis when people are struggling just to put food on the table.
Oh, that's a good point.
There's not much money left over.
That's a good point, because Annette said normally in the past, the guests that we had on today from American Patriot Guns and Ammo, she said normally when there's all this talk about taking away our Second Amendment rights or these gun grabs, that it increases business, but it didn't have the same effect this same time. And I think you're absolutely right, Andrew. It probably is because people are paying out the you know what for just to drive anywhere or just to eat.
I hear you. Well, great job by the crew, guest host, you all for covering for the big guy. I'm glad he got a week off. My holiday begins tomorrow.
Awesome. Happy Father's Day, Andrew. Thank you for the phone call. And another thing that should make you happy on Father's Day is that Hillary says she's not going to run in 2024. So hopefully that's the case. It is crazy, though, that this such a power hungry devil of a woman would not want to try again. But I mean, anything could change. But she says she expects Biden to run, that it would be very disruptive to challenge that. But it's interesting because, as you'll recall, when they asked AOC about this, AOC was like, she completely avoided the question on if she would support Biden or not. But apparently Hillary is not going to run, according to a Love Fest interview she did with FT, I guess. And she says, I think if Trump can, he's going to run again. And she says that he's collecting all this money as if she has any room to talk about collecting money. I mean, where have all the funds gone from the Clinton Foundation? I don't even think we can keep track of what all's happened with that, but she has the audacity to talk about the money that Trump's collected. So, yeah, hopefully that sticks. Hopefully she will not be running. But I think it's laughable to think that Biden will be able to run. I mean, he just fell off a bike, for goodness sakes. And here's the thing. When I first thought of that, I was picturing in my mind Biden falling off the bike, right? And then I see the video and I'm like, he wasn't even riding the bike. The bike was stopped. He just kind of, let's just watch that again. You got that video right there. So he's not even riding it. Boop. Just falls over. It's the strangest thing. Oh, man. All right. Let's try and get through some of your other phone calls. Charles is a father in Atlanta. So happy Father's Day to Charles.
Well, thank you so much, Christy. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Hey, as usual, the InfoWars powerhouse of knowledge of all these years can produce a thousand different points of discussion.
Yeah, right.
It's really deep. And one thing I really love about the spirit of Alex and the people who work there, but Alex especially, is he's a modern pioneer. Some have called him a John the Baptist and a prophet in his own way, and I believe that, mm-hmm. in that he is encouraging humanity to educate itself to how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
To desire a much higher degree of self-respect. There's something in not acknowledging your own self-worth and self-respect that allow other imperfect beings that have free will but use it in for evil to take advantage of you. So when we don't see our ability to be self-ruled and ruled by smaller groups, you know, of communities as opposed to big governments, we end up yielding so much of our authority and potential over to these over centuries growing sizes of embodied power that we call government, that we get in a place of such extreme dependency that they can pull the plug, be it economically, with what you see with food lately, sending our billions and trillions of dollars everywhere else, but helping us, opening our borders. But the point is, as Alex doesn't mention the original, one of the original names of the his production as Prison Planet. You remember one of his first sites was Prison Planet.
Mm.
And I've heard many people from him to David Icke and others mention that not only is there a spiritual pressure on humanity to put us in a prison state of mind, but ultimately we yield our, give up our birthright, so to speak. I was talking to my dad earlier today, wishing him a happy Father's Day. Part of the problem is that when humanity gives up its birthright, we actually contract away our power and our blessing. So if we don't understand that we're all born into the world equal and with the equal potential, unbeknownst to maybe certainly ourselves as youth, but our parents don't know, you know, what we're doing. We sign the birth certificate here in the United States and putting ourselves in the stock to the stock exchange, mm-hmm. and contracting ourselves to different laws.
Yeah,
I could go on and on, but let me just wrap by saying this. One thing, again, I love and honor Alex for is he has encouraged us every single day he speaks to empower yourself with knowledge, because if you are walking through a dark land and there's traps, you know, holes in the ground where people put leaves over it and you fall into it, you know, knowledge, and the Bible says this, knowledge is the thing that allows you to see through the darkness being lies and deception.
Mm-hmm.
So, and very quickly, the nature of work, you may have, I've called in before, you may have heard me say it, somewhere back in our history, when the nature of work was formed, some potentate, some pharaoh, some leader probably said, man, I don't feel like doing this work, or my family doesn't want to do it. Let's see how we can trick the masses out there. I'll be their prophet, their potentate, their general, their leader. I'll be the one that does something for them, but they bring their wealth of their fruits and animals and in the modern day labor to me, and I'll do something for them. But in contracting with our power bases like that, they end up devaluing the amount of labor that we give them and giving us less reward, to the point where they have so much power that when they pull the plug, we're in trouble. So the nature of work is what restricts our ability to, even if we wanted to do research into these deeper and more profound and important things of life, we don't even have the raw time to do it, because
right.
the nature of work and the value of our the currency, what we're paid for it, is so undervalued.
Yeah.
So unless we think outside this box that we're in, this prison planet of how the different levels of our being that we're enslaved in,
mm-hmm.
we'll never get out of this as
yeah.
humanity.
Yeah.
Until we see it and want something better for ourselves, we have to have a self-love to say, I will refuse to be treated like a slave. Because that's all the devil wants to do, right?
Yep.
From the beginning of time. That's all human beings that have the devil in them do. They'll use you and take off, suck your wealth away, suck your vibration away, your time away. And if for no other reason, just to get their kicks. I ask myself all the time, how do these young youths, even though they're crazy and deranged, how do they go in somewhere and shoot up? How does Jeffrey Dahmer take all these people off the street and chop them up and eat them?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even need to have an explanation all the time. They do it because it's what they will and choose to do. And on the flip side, the mass of humanity doesn't understand that psychosis, and also have not prepared themselves to how to shield themselves against it. So everything's about realizing life is about the conflict between good and evil. It's always been this way. It'll never change until God changes it.
Yep.
But until then, we have to have a balance of power. We have to have communities, loved ones, and places of fortification, and build up our infrastructure of money, food, governments, so that we are not dependent, because dependency is what causes any human being to be enslaved. I could go on and on.
Yeah, that's so true, though. You don't want to be dependent on anybody, or definitely not the government, and that's why another reason why here we promote things like preparetoday.com, so you can make sure you're prepared, that you don't have to be dependent on anybody, and make sure you're ready for anything. Thank you for your phone call, Charles. Let's go to Lynn in Cincinnati. Happy Father's Day. I'm really excited about your phone call because I just started listening to Adam and Eve, the Adam and Eve book on audiobook. So is this a good thing, a bad thing, a bunch of baloney? What do you think, Lynn?
Well, the book that I've read is Roy Masters, Adam and Eve Syndrome.
Oh, okay. And so this is a totally different Adam and Eve book. Okay.
Yes, in the cover of the book, Adam is scratching his head while Eve offers him an apple, and there's no bite taken out of that apple.
Hmm. Okay.
Perplexing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the it is basically what Jesse Lee Peterson is talking about. You know, we've got to get it together. And fathers, if you're just going through these divorces, you know, it's hard to do, but eventually you got to forgive mother.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. You got to forgive her because, you know, people, my cousin's the attorney, he says, divorce is two good people at their worst.
Mm.
And
yeah,
the courts
so
use that.
Yeah.
They use that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to throw everything at you that is that they can think of so that you'll get angry, man, and do something wrong. You got to, you know, in my generation, my ex-wife, I called her the meanest woman in the world. You know, she mm-hmm. got custody and put him in the children's home. But I fought, you know, and we live together now. I'm never there, but he takes care of things for me back at the homestead.
Oh, that's nice.
You know? So, you know, in that book, Adam and Eve Syndrome,
yeah,
women hate it.
Really?
They hate it.
It blames it all on Eve? All the world's problems are women?
Well, actually,
sounds about right.
Eve had the easiest method to get out of it is the man that has the hardest, you know, because he wants his seduction from the female, you know,
yeah,
and he wants her doing that and being that, but all she has to do is say, "No way, buddy. This is wholesome. We got a wholesome marriage here and wholesome relationship." And that brings the dignity and the honor back to it so that she's not doing it generationally, you know.
Yeah.
Accusing the father of something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
no, it makes
deep.
Sense.
It is deep. It
all goes deep. Thank you, Len. I'm going to try and get to a couple other phone calls before we say goodbye for the night. So let's go to John in the Virgin Islands. John, happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Christy, and happy Father's Day to all the men out there.
Yes.
But Christy, I'm going to do this in two quick parts.
Okay.
First part is about sexual deviation, and the second part is going to be about DES. I want everyone to just take a deep breath and just listen carefully for a moment. The purpose of my call is to talk about the kaleidoscope of confusion. Back in World War II, people have heard the term back then called Blitzkrieg, and that's multi-angles of attack meant to confuse and disorient an enemy. When we talk about sexual perversion, do you remember when the homosexuals originally just wanted equal rights? Way back when,
mm-hmm.
all they wanted was equal rights. Now, as a person who has worked in the mental health field, worked with clinical psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, blah, blah, blah. The particular facility I worked in had one floor dedicated to what they called sexual offenders, sex offenders. This was a population of men that were 24 hours a day monitored and isolated from the rest of the population.
Wow.
At that time, and this has changed, the view of sex offenders was that they are completely socially, emotionally, and mentally and spiritually spiritually, this is from a what you would call a non-Christian point of view by the people who are the professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Unredeemable.
Mm. Yep.
And now you see that when a person's mind, and we can expand it now to what's going on in the world, this kaleidoscope of confusion and laying the axe to the root, you will see what happens when you give the devil an inch. He will become your ruler. And when you have a population of people who are in control, they call themselves your leaders, your representatives, your authorities, but their mind, their conscience is not captive to God. What you're going to see is the confusion that's going on now. And my question, Christy, to you and the audience, is how much more information do you need? What are we waiting for? We get bombarded by new information and updates every hour, every day. And the question is what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for that one bit of information that will get us off our backsides and take action? Because right now, the way it is I think most people are waiting until the reality of what's going on gets to their doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll conclude by just saying this.
It's too late.
There is no doctor, there is no physician, there is no surgeon who can completely dismantle a human being, especially their vertebrae, bone by bone, and put a human being back together. Those individuals who are in the background controlling all of this and conducting their star chambers have pinpointed the vertebrae that hold the society, the human race together. Whether it's religion, education, sexual orientation, family, truth, trust, all those things. And they've targeted all those things to break them down and now build back better in their words. And what they don't understand is that the controlling law of the universe is justice. And it will never, ever be corruption. And so now they've got build back better. And just like a surgeon would fail in trying to build back better a human being, their plan to build back better is destined for utter failure. I want everyone to have confidence that we are on the winning team. They will lose. Have a good night.
All right. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Every single person listening to the sound of my voice needs to listen to me very, very carefully.
Free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Friday, the 17th of June. Year of our Lord, 2022, day 826 of the emergency. And now Joe Biden is talking about doing more public health emergencies. This one is going to be a public health emergency because there's not enough abortions. If the Supreme Court decides to kick this back to the states, Joe Biden is actually talking about doing a national public health emergency for abortion.
And why not? We have had non-essential people aborted out of their jobs, out of their businesses, out of schools, out of the economy. And we've had them literally aborted with these vaccines that were produced with an executive order. So why not? Seems reasonable. We'll be talking about that, but we'll begin by talking about the recession. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Also today, we will be talking to Gerald Celente. He'll be joining us in the third hour. And of course, we'll be talking about the recession, war, a lot of other things like that, where he sees this going, because he's been ahead of the curve, as usual, for a long time. We'll talk about that coming up, but let's talk a little bit about the recession. You know, we have Peter Scheer of Academy Securities on Zero Hedge says the country is going to learn that a recession is worse for votes than high inflation. And of course, the axiom, which is very true, said by Clinton's campaign manager, James Carville, said, don't forget, you distracted everybody's attention from the scandal with the war and everything, and now it's back, but it's really the economy. It's the economy, stupid. And if they like the economy, they're going to vote for you. Well, that looks really bad right now for Biden. It's the economy, stupid, but it's also Biden's stupid economy, Biden's Nero economy, to deliberately burn us down, to create on purpose a policy of austerity and deprivation, to make us poor, to push us into the Great Reset. And I think he's going to find that the inflation is going to be bad. You know, Gerald Sunty talks has been talking for quite some time, saying it's not going to be stagflation. It's going to be dragflation. It's not going to be a stagnant horizontal economy. It's going to go down significantly as inflation is also going up. And I think that's very true. We're seeing that now. Liquidity is abysmal. It's coming in across asset classes. Wealth destruction has been enormous just in this last week. The writer says, I believe the country is going to learn that a recession is far worse for votes than high inflation, with a 75 basis point hike likely speeding along some of the many issues facing the economy. My fear of a shock in the bond market, some sort of flash crash, is increasing yet again, as overnight trading was bad and not reflective of recessionary views. But of course, as Biden is talking about this, he says recession is not inevitable. What was he saying a year ago?
We also know that as our economy has come roaring back, we see some price increases. Some folks have raised worries that this could be a sign of persistent inflation. But that's not our view.
Yeah, that was July of 2021. And somebody manipulated the video to put a clown face on him, which is appropriate because that is clownish. Yeah. Recession was not in their view at the time. And neither was inflation. Inflation was transitory. It's undeniable, but it was transitory. And it wasn't as bad as even the cookbooks were telling you, they were saying. And of course, don't worry about recession. Now he's saying, well, it's not inevitable. Except it's already here. It's already rolling out. The effects have not been fully felt yet. He said yesterday, the American people are really, really down. Yeah, we're really down. After a tumultuous 2 years of a pandemic, volatility in the economy, now surging gasoline prices are slamming family budgets, but he stressed that a recession is not inevitable, says AP News, as they're trying to cover for him. He said that in an interview with them. Of course, you know, who's he going to go to push his spin, except to the Associated Propagandists, the Associated Press. He bristled at claims by Republican lawmakers that last year's COVID aid plan was fully to blame for inflation reaching a 40-year high, calling the argument bizarre. Well, I think that is a bizarre argument. See, the Republicans don't want to talk about the pandemic lockdown. And of course, he wants to pretend that that's all it is. But of course, it's not that. As he came in, he decided he'd do even more economic damage than Trump did with his vaccine mandates. But he began by shutting down our energy. He began by doing to us what OPEC did 50 years ago. I'm going to cut off your new sources of energy. I'm going to cut off your pipeline. I'm going to cut off this and that. And then he ramped it up with sanctions, with a war that was unnecessary and remains unnecessary. But the Republicans don't want to talk about that either. They don't want to talk about the lockdowns and the effects there because that would kind of blow back on them. The fact that they did nothing, the fact that they continued to fund it, and so did Trump. No matter how bad it was, they continued to fund it. They didn't push back and stop it. They're not pushing back to stop the war either. Imagine that. So what are they left with? Let's see, what can we focus on that we can solely blame on Biden? Oh, well, that's the COVID aid plan that he had last year. It is a bizarre approach to deny the bigger realities of the bipartisan pandemic and the bipartisan war, neither of which were real or necessary. Yeah, it's a real war. I mean, they're really killing people, but certainly not necessary. And the cause for it is not necessary. And just like the pandemic, as they supposedly are attacking a virus, as they're supposedly attacking Putin, nothing is happening to the virus or to Putin. I mean, even from a pragmatic standpoint, all of these bipartisan measures from the pandemic to the Ukraine war are an absolute failure, and they will not change course. Biden goes on to say their need for mental health in America has skyrocketed. Why do you think that is? Because you locked people down? House arrest? Things like that? Because you took their life away? You closed churches, you closed schools, you ended careers, you've injured and killed untold millions of people globally. You think people are upset and really down? They've been locked down. That's why they're really down. Everything they've counted on is upset, he said. But most of it is a consequence of what happened. What happened is a consequence of the COVID crisis. It just happened. They don't have anything to do with it. And they don't know how to fix it. Stuff just happens, you know. And it's not their fault. We're just really down, locked down, mandated, jabbed, excluded, fired, all the rest of this stuff. Meanwhile, Rabobank commentator Philip Mary says, well, you go 75, 75, 50, 50, 50. And then you get a big recession. Powell said he didn't expect another 75 basis points to be coming. But he said, yeah, you might do another 50 to 75 6 weeks from now. He also said the committee expected the federal funds rate to be a moderately restrictive level of 3 to 3.5% by the end of the year, followed by more tightening next year to 3.5 to 4%. Now, this is the, their internal rates. This has nothing to do with the mortgages. Now, they're astronomically higher, as I pointed out. Big spread between this, what the banks get it for, and what they charge. And then there's an even bigger spread between the savings rates that they pay you in the banks and what they charge on home mortgages. And an even bigger percentage, of course, on your credit cards. I mean, it is a racket, isn't it? The Fed is still underestimating the inflation problem, not recognizing that a wage price spiral has already started. We expect that they will have to raise rates faster than they now expect. We expect at Rabobank the target range to reach 3.75 to 4% as soon as December. They're really going to ramp this thing up. And again, they say, well, you know, we're definitely going to raise it by 50 basis points in 6 weeks. We might even do 75. So in terms of the balance sheet, in terms of all the things that they, you know, did for quantitative easing, they're not going to stop that tightening. They only did a little bit of it the beginning of June, as he points out, well over a year since inflation started to skyrocket. And after a three-month adjustment period, then they're going to start doing monthly caps of about $60 billion for Treasury securities and about $35 billion for agency MBS. So they're going to start to ramp that down and restrict it in various other ways. So we are going to see a lot of things happening. But I began by saying that one of the other things that Biden did was to talk about a national public health emergency. Wait a minute, we've had one of those for 826 days. Yes, and it is such a useful tool to do whatever you wish. Right? It's medical martial law. I said that as soon as it happened. I got called out as a radical, fear-mongering extremist for saying that by the ADL and by the Daily Beast. Look at this. Look what he said. It's medical martial law. Can you believe somebody would call it medical martial law? Well, what happens when you suspend the rule of law and the Constitution? You say, I can do whatever I want to as long as it's a public health emergency. Everything's done. That's martial law. And so that's been such a useful tool. He will declare a national public health emergency if Roe v. Wade is overturned, he says. You see, Trump did his best to abort non-essential Main Street businesses and the middle class. He did the best he could to abort churches by locking them down and shutting them down. He did the best he could to abort people getting an education or finishing up their degree. You've invested a lot of years into this college degree, and all of a sudden, you're kicked out. because you won't get the jab. But now Biden is going to abort non-essential babies. You know, we've been aborting all these other things that are non-essential, like your job, your business, your education, your travel, all those things aborted with a national health emergency. So why not do a national health emergency to abort babies because they're non-essential? Who needs them? Declaration of a public health emergency, his new superpower that was created by Trump, the Trump president. And of course, even the governors like Greg Abbott, it was the end of March that he extended the declaration of a public health emergency in Texas. Do you see an emergency status in Texas with a public health? No. I mean, that quietly happened. I haven't heard anybody mention that except me. Nobody cares. You got a Republican governor, and he declares an emergency. Public health is still going. He says, it might come back. Well, that's not an emergency. That something might come back. Yeah, you don't keep Florida locked down permanently because a hurricane might come back. No. It's a certainty that it's going to come back. It's not a certainty that we even had a virus. And it certainly isn't a certainty that this virus is going to come back. Right. What is a certainty is that they figured out that saying that something is a public health emergency is a way to do medical martial law. Other ideas, including allowing doctors practicing in states to ban abortions to perform them on federal sites, such as military bases. Military bases, it's just ridiculous in my view, says Biden, and I don't think the country will stand for it. That is, to stop ripping babies apart is ridiculous. But I think what we're going to have to do, there's some executive orders I could employ, and we believe we're looking at that right now. And we're going to weaponize emergencies, have wartime executive powers in order to kill babies. Elizabeth Warren is even more strident about all this. She urged Biden to issue an executive order, quote, instructing every federal agency to develop a plan to protect abortion. Not to protect life, you see. If it's a public health emergency, at least, with a COVID lockdown, the rationale was, we got to save lives. We got to save grandma and grandpa who are past life expectancy, who have 2.5 comorbidities, each of which, would kill them on their own, on average, which was what we saw from 2 weeks of data out of Italy before we did our national public health emergency. But when they did the public health emergency the first time, it was to save life. Now it's to destroy life. They're not pro-life. This is how these things evolve politically. This is not about protecting life. It's about projecting power. Not protecting life, but projecting power. And the unending projection of power. And it is bipartisan. Like I said, just look at Greg Abbott. In the first summer in Idaho, Brad Little, who was governor, the Republicans, they would have the legislature meet every other year. Same thing they would do in Texas. And so it was not a year that they were going to have a session. Wasn't that convenient? That they rolled this whole thing out in 2020 when states like Texas and Idaho didn't have a legislature in session. And so they called a special session to get rid of the Republican governor's state of emergency in Idaho. And like some colonial dictator governor at the time of King George, he dismissed the legislature, told him to go home. He wrote some regulations that would actually strengthen it, call them back in to session, and told them pass it, and they did. Faith leaders are demanding that the Department of Justice respond to troubling attacks on pregnancy centers. You see, they've got to do something. It's a public health emergency if abortions are not dictated from Washington. If the states are not prohibited from protecting life, the feds will step in and do it. But they're not going to protect life if there's firebombing that's going on at a pro-life clinic and threats of more of that. Nothing's going to happen from the Department of Justice. Nothing's going to happen from the FBI. We've seen this. One extremist group is advocating for violence, and in response to the final Supreme Court decision on Dobbs's Jane's Revenge, by the way, while another group has published home addresses and encouraged people to show up at the Supreme Court justices' homes, Look, that's Fox News's take on all this. They're not just advocating violence. They've already firebombed several places and taken credit for it. And still, the Department of Justice and the FBI are not interested. They're only interested in parents who show up to speak at school board meetings. They are the terrorists. So there's three Supreme Court cases to watch in the next couple of weeks besides